McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. On today's program, I'm going to talk about the transformation of reality, the transformation of your reality, my reality, and the transformation of the reality of hundreds of millions of people on planet Earth. Now, that may sound like a lofty or esoteric subject, but in reality, it is the transformation of reality, which is the mission. It's the very mission that Jesus Christ assigned to you and I, especially in the last days. So how do we transform the reality all around us? Well, first and foremost, we transform the reality all around us by transforming the people all around us. First, we change the people all around us, and that changes the reality all around us. But before we can change the people all around us, we have to be willing to be transformed ourselves from within. And really, that's the crux of the matter. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's where people have enormous challenges and difficulties. You see, it's one thing to put your energies and efforts into transforming others or a community or a family or a nation or a world. It's one thing to put your energy, your spirituality, your giftedness in the direction of transforming this world, either individual by individual or nation by nation. I mean, that's what Jesus Christ said to each of us when he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, or go into all the world and win souls into my kingdom. And then Jesus Christ told us to make disciples of all the nations. That means that we're to not only teach them about Jesus, but we're to disciple them. We're to give them an education, a practical education into a transformational biblical worldview, where we train people how to look at reality through the eyes or the lens of truth versus looking at reality through the lies or the mythologies or the non-truths. So whether it's preaching the gospel, that's all about truth. Why? Because Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. But then when we make disciples of all nations, Jesus Christ ups the ante, so to speak. He's saying that I want you to teach nations, the heads of nations, the people who are in places of power in every sphere of society, as well as ordinary people, I want you to teach them how to develop a biblical worldview. In other words, see things from the lens of God's word. Understand that God's word is not a fairy tale, but God's word is truth. It's final reality. It's true truth. And then finally, Jesus Christ tells us, it's a commandment. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, make disciples of all nations. And then he says to us that you and I and others are to occupy the land until he comes. That means that wherever God has placed us, that's the land we're called to occupy until he comes. It could be in any different number of occupational fields. It could be as a mother or father. It could be as a retired person. There's so many platforms or so many areas where we can spread the light of Jesus Christ into this world. Because after all, the entire assignment that Jesus Christ gave us was to shine light, his light, the light of the kingdom of God, which is true. It's not a mythology. It's not a fantasy. He wants us to shine the reality of the light of the kingdom of God into this dark world. And why is this world dark? Because this world has succumbed to illusion, deceptions, false teaching, false prophets, and all kinds of either overt lies or all kinds of non-truths. And the only way that we can combat the prevalence of non-truth is to spread the truth in an intelligent, spirit-filled, effective way. That is the essence of a spiritual battle we're called to engage in. It's a battle of ideas. It's a battle of concepts. It's a battle of beliefs. It's a battle of truth versus falsehood. That's the arena of the spiritual battlefield. And what is at stake, really, is this. It's very simple. When you boil it all down, what's really at stake is, are we going to have a world and a society? Are you going to be the kind of person, am I going to be the kind of person that lives this world in a world based on God's love, which is the agape love of Jesus Christ, it's selfless love? Are you and I going to live in a world that is ruled and permeated by the love of God? Or are you and I going to live in a world that is dominated with selfish, self-centered cruelty, in which the fittest survive, in which harshness and cruelty and domination and enslavement, all of those things which are the opposite of love, prevails? That's what it really comes down to. I mean, we can have arguments and discussions and debates about whether or not Christianity is true, or the tenets of Hinduism or Buddhism are true, or the platforms of secular humanism are true. And that's all extremely important. But what it comes down to is, what is the actual fruit? What is the actual transformation that occurs when people practice and walk in, for example, the love of God as depicted in the Bible? What happens to a society in a world where people choose to walk in the love of God and practice the love of God? What happens in a world where people choose to walk in a world of non-belief or atheism or materialism or secular humanism? What happens to that world? And you can see what happens to various worlds. What happens to a world that embraces some kind of Eastern mystical or occult reality or occult tenets or beliefs? What practical transformation does that bring about? And what we see when we study and we observe, what we see is that something I shared with you on the Paul McGuire Report for years, what we see is that ideas are important. Ideas bring about consequences. Good ideas bring about good consequences. Bad ideas bring about bad consequences. It's really very simple. You see, the ideas, the belief systems we hold on to, the philosophies, the religious beliefs that we have, all of these things that we call ideas, whether they're good or bad, bring about powerful consequences, powerful transformation. That is either good or bad. And we should never look at the world and feel perplexed. We should never look at the world as if we stepped off some kind of merry-go-round where we were spinning and riding a horse or something. and then we get off the merry-go-round at some kind of amusement park, and we're dizzy, we're disoriented, because we have been in an unnatural flow of riding up and down on some kind of mechanical horse on a device called a merry-go-round. It causes us to be disoriented and lose our balance. So when we are oriented, that means we're positioned rightly. To be oriented means to be positioned or configured rightly. And that means there is the application of knowledge. Knowledge brings about power, power for living. And true knowledge brings about true power for living. That's why God's word says to every one of his people, and God isn't playing games about this, it's really simple. It's so simple, a little child can understand it. God says to his people, and all people, God says to them in his word, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Our orientation into reality, into life, is based upon whether or not we reject what the Bible calls a spirit of fear, which most likely is speaking of an external spirit of fear. And we are commanded to reject, to discard a spirit of fear. And instead, we choose by faith in the supernatural power of God to operate or orient our lives in the flow of reality and transformation produced by what the Bible says we are to have a sound mind. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, instead, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So God has not given us a spirit of fear. He has given us power, love, and a sound mind. Now, when we function, when we orient ourselves into this reality that we live in, we can either be transformed from external input, which causes us to be fearful, disoriented, afraid, or we can orient ourselves through the renewing of our mind by the Word of God. And the way we do that is we take our thinking and our thoughts and our ideas, and we review them in the light and presence of God's Word. That's what's meant by renewing our minds with the Word of God. When somebody claims to be a Christian but spends no time renewing themselves or renewing their minds with the Word of God, they are going to be, by default, in a state of disorientation. They're going to exist by default in a state of confusion, a state of fear-based consciousness, a state of being bewildered or afraid. All of these are non-productive states, and they're fear-based states. And because they constitute what is called a series of bad ideas, they produce bad consequences. They produce bad transformations, either in our individual realities, realities of our families and friends, the collective reality of our society, our culture, our nation, and finally our world. It is a product of the ideas that we elevate, the ideas that we choose to believe are true, and the ideas that we choose to apply to ourselves and to life itself. Because those ideas that we have that pass through our mind, those are either ideas that are originating, flowing from, and stemming from God's Word, or those are ideas borrowed from fallen men and women who have adopted very inferior ideas, inferior philosophies, inferior worldviews. And you can't build a productive, fruitful, and loving life if it's built on the platform of bad ideas, because bad ideas always, 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 without exception, produce bad consequences. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Be sure to visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. And we will be back in just a moment. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Our world right now, on a planetary level, as Buckminster Fuller said, the great scientist, the great engineer, the great philosopher and thinker, Buckminster Fuller invented numerous things, including the most efficient living structure ever made, and that is and was the geodesic dome structure, was an invention of Buckminster Fuller. Buckminster Fuller was also a futurist, and using his engineering and scientific abilities, he solved so many of the problems we have here on planet Earth through his ideas, which were produced by true science, and his ideas produced good consequences. Now, Buckminster Fuller conceived this idea known as Spaceship Earth. Spaceship Earth is the concept that we're to look at planet Earth as kind of a spaceship in which you and I live and are traveling upon Spaceship Earth. But just like a spaceship in science fiction movies or a SpaceX project or whatever, Spaceship Earth has a limited, what Fuller was trying to drive home was that Spaceship Earth has a limited amount of resources. And so Fuller stressed that we have to take care of Spaceship Earth in order for Spaceship Earth to be continually efficient in providing for our needs, such as food, shelter, and clothing. We have to take care of our spaceship, Spaceship Earth. Now, that may be slightly different from a lot of biblical teaching that you hear, but with some deviations, what Fuller was getting at was, to a certain degree, and I'm saying to a certain degree, similar to the mandate that God gave Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden on planet Earth. Now, the Garden of Eden was paradise. God didn't necessarily tell Adam and Eve that planet Earth was Spaceship Earth. That really wasn't necessary. Adam and Eve knew, and God knew, that the actual geographic area on planet Earth that Adam and Eve lived in was a garden, a paradise known as the Garden of Eden, where everything was ecologically, environmentally perfect. It was beautiful beyond description. Adam and Eve were given by God supernatural powers in order to rule and reign on planet Earth and the Garden of Eden. They weren't sitting there with shovels, you know, digging pits and stuff. They were given some kind of supernatural authority and ability to manage or steward vegetables and fruits and the perfect environment and the waterfalls and the rich colors. They lived forever. They never got sick. They didn't have to worry about that. And so God gives them the assignment. They are, in effect, the king and queen of planet Earth under
God Almighty, or Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings. He's the supreme being, but they are very high-level beings underneath God. They're not gods. They're the creatures, small c, created by the Creator, capital C, the Creator God. So when you look at Genesis, you see God giving out the assignment to Adam and Eve. And he says in Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And then it says, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, this dominion over the earth was not a savage exploitation of Mother Earth. Stewardship implies that God gave Adam and Eve the supernatural authority to rule and reign over planet Earth. But as stewards or servants, they were not slaves, but they were to serve the highest objectives of God, which is God is love. And when mankind was made in the image of God, male and female, we are to replicate the thinking and behavior of God, who is love. And so they were taking care of planet Earth. Now, in a secular sense, what Buckminster Fuller and others have called for, from a secular point of view, non-biblical point of view, they have called for mankind to take care of the Earth, to take care of planet Earth so it can be, quote, sustainable. Now, there are limitations to that, but the point is that there's a similarity between the infinite personal living God and his instructions for Adam and Eve, and there is a similarity between the mandate that people like Buckminster Fuller wrote about for human beings to unite and take care of planet Earth. These are two different worldviews. These are two different sets of ideas that produce ultimately different results, but they share at least an initial similarity. And the only thing God commanded Adam and Eve not to do was don't eat from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. For in the day that you do, you shall surely die. So you see, Adam and Eve were given a mission on spaceship Earth. And they were succeeding in that mission. They were victorious in that mission up until the time they listened to the serpent of old, who was indwelt by Lucifer. And the serpent of old used his manipulation, his lies, his verbal strategies to seduce Adam and Eve into rejecting God's word, rejecting God's commandment. And they disobeyed God and they ate from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, which activated the law of sin and death, which still permeates planet Earth to this day. So, the ultimate question is, there are many people who reject the idea and the truth that God exists, because the Bible tells us God exists, but there are numerous proofs of God's existence in the creation, in the laws of creation, in the biblical account of reality from Genesis to Revelation. There's revelation of the reality of God in the life and ministry and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the miracles of Jesus Christ. And then finally, the fact that Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth at the second coming. All of these things prove that the biblical account is not a fairy tale, mythological account. The biblical account is one based on final reality, or what the Christian philosopher Dr. Francis Schaeffer called true truth. And all of that means is this, that apart from whether you, I, or anybody else chooses to believe in the biblical God or not, he exists, the biblical God exists, completely independent of whether or not you and I or anybody else chooses to believe in him. Yes, of course, it's important for people to choose to believe in God by faith, because that's the only way you can be saved and receive eternal life. But God does not need our permission to exist. God does not need man's permission to be God. God is God simply because that's the truth. And he doesn't need our belief or our support or our pat on the back to exist. He is God Almighty. He's the supreme being. And he has done things that no other being has ever done in the history of the human race and in the future. Even in today's world, where you have people like the entrepreneur genius Elon Musk, the founder of SpaceX and the Tesla Motor Company. And Elon Musk is all into enhancing his brain power with some kind of neural implant and a Wi-Fi transmission and reception and interfacing of his brain to artificial intelligence, enhanced memory banks, augmented intelligence, and wireless transmission from the neural implant in a person's brain, where it connects automatically to a satellite, and that satellite or network of satellites can function as some kind of collective world brain or hive mind. And you can, a human being, if he or she chooses, can utilize the memory storage system of an independent and separate computer system that you can hook your brain up to enhance your brain power. Now, that's not a fantasy. That's true. And it's happening right before our very eyes. It's given names like artificial intelligence, AI, or the singularity. And as most of you know, the singularity is that day in the future when artificial intelligence, robotic brains, computer brains, cyborg brains. It will be that day in the future when computerized brains and artificial intelligence actually exceeds the brain power and intelligence of every man and woman alive on planet Earth. That will be the historic moment, if it ever arrives. It will be an historic moment where the machine, the computer, the cyborg, cybernetic mechanisms will be ahead of and become superior to human intelligence, which basically means that robots, cyborgs, androids, artificial intelligence, if they become smarter than us, which many futurists seem to believe that they will, then they have the potential of ruling over us. And people like Elon Musk and others are suggesting that we need to be aware of this, but also take advantage of the technological augmentation artificial intelligence computers offer us and we can boost our own brain power, our own memories, our own logic circuits by connecting ourselves to artificial intelligence computers on a wireless or Wi-Fi level. And this is all happening now, even as we speak. In my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, I have several chapters in the book that deal with Elon Musk and artificial intelligence, et cetera, et cetera. And when I was writing the book, they had already begun launching the planned 25,000 new satellites that will be orbiting around planet Earth. And they're still shooting up SpaceX rockets with new satellites even as we speak. So the goal is to blanket the outer atmosphere of planet Earth with a network of 25,000 satellites. And that can be used for military defense. It can be used for artificial intelligence. But according to Musk and others, they want mankind and mankind's computers to plug into this giant Wi-Fi computer network built out of 5G to 10G that surrounds our Earth. Our very planet will be surrounded by an atmospheric consciousness of augmented reality computers that will enhance all of our abilities, assuming that the nightmares of the futurists don't come true, and this army of cyborgs and robots and androids that have artificial intelligence, assuming that they will not want to turn us into their slaves at some point in the future, which is a real concern to the futurists. So this is where we are from when God created planet Earth with Adam and Eve. And mankind, way back in the beginning, mankind decided to reject God's word, just like mankind today, even the church, has chosen to reject God's word. Mankind, Adam and Eve, chose to reject God's word in the Garden of Eden, and they chose to eat from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, even though God warned them that if they should disobey him and do that, that they would die. They would activate the death force, and they did. They ate from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the Garden of Eden. They activated the death force, which they began to die. They were ashamed. They were naked. They were afraid. By the way, compare their mental mindset of Adam and Eve. Just compare and contrast what the mental mindset of Adam and Eve was before they fell, and then examine what their mental mindset was after they fell, and you can learn, not only learn, if you really think about it and pray about it and compare and contrast those two different truths, God can give you a revelation of incredible understanding into the nature of our reality and how to be more than a conqueror in this temporal reality we live in. Let me give you an idea. First of all, see, again, ideas have consequences. Good ideas have good consequences. Bad ideas have bad consequences. These are the building blocks of the universe, the building blocks of mankind, the building blocks of our DNA, and the building blocks of all civilization of mankind, past, present, and future. The most critical thing is the ideas or philosophy or belief systems that they're built upon. Let's go back to Genesis again. Why? Because when you know the truth, when you own the truth, you're set free. And we read in Genesis how God creates the heavens and the earth in the beginning. And then we read in the book of Genesis how God creates all the beasts and the fish and the creeping things and all the living things on planet Earth. Then again, in Genesis 1:26, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image according to our likeness.'" And then they're given, man is given dominion or rulership over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So man, which comes from the word Adam, and Adam means that God made man in his own image. Adam is translated as Adam, the proper name, which would be Adam, about 20 times in the Old Testament. So you see, Adam can have two meanings. Adam can mean mankind or humanity at large, or Adam or Adam can mean the name of a singular male individual whose name is Adam. So when we read in the Bible and we see the words Adam, we need to be careful to interpret it as Adam's literal name or Adam, which means the collective name of humanity. So when God teaches us that God made man in his own image, it comes from the word Adam, meaning the collective name of all of humanity, of every man and woman. And another thing we learn is that when the Bible speaks of mankind or man, it's speaking about both male and female, because both male and female are made in the image of God. So in verse 27, it says, "So God created man in his own image," man being both male and female in his own image. In the image of God, he created a male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every little living thing that moves on the earth." So we see that man is given rulership over the entire earth, and it's supernatural rulership. They're like the king and queen of planet Earth. Adam and Eve function as the king and queen of planet Earth. And the serpent of old, who was indwelt by Satan at that moment didn't have that much power over planet Earth. Over Adam and Eve. He only stole his power from Adam and Eve when he used spiritual deception, when he used lying words and manipulation to convince Adam and Eve that that they could become gods if they disobeyed God and ate from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. They were promised by Lucifer that they would become like gods. Well, they already were very much like gods. God was still the God above them, but God trusted them with godlike powers. So what happened was that there was a radical transformation that occurred in the identity and personality and being of Adam and Eve when they chose to eat from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. They activated the law of sin and death, which allowed the death force to enter their physical bodies, their body, soul, and spirit. They began to die. They lost their powers, their spiritual authority. And they went from being men and women made in the image of God with supernatural rulership and authority over planet Earth and themselves. They were transformed from that exalted position. And they instantaneously became slaves of Satan, who became the temporary god of this world. And for the first time in their lives, they, instead of having a rulership, authority, dominion consciousness, they now had, they were filled with fear. They had a fear consciousness. They were ashamed that they were naked, so they had a shame consciousness. And they fell from their superior rulership position under God. They fell, it's called the fall of man, to a far lower position where they were frightened human beings that were now biologically dying. They could get sick, they were aging, and they lost the full extent of their supernatural powers, and their supernatural powers were replaced by things like, for the first time, they were afraid. They were walking in fear. For the first time, they were ashamed of their nakedness. So this is pretty intense. And God judges the human race because of it. But Satan is allowed to be the temporary god of this world. So once again, ideas have consequences. And Adam and Eve went through a massive mind shift, because they were functioning in their core identity given to them by God. In their DNA, Adam and Eve were functioning as the rulers, as the king and queen of planet Earth, with dominion, ruling and reigning, and supernatural authority. And then when they disobeyed God's word and fell, now they were walking in a shame consciousness. They had shame ideas about themselves. They were walking in a fear consciousness. They had a fear image of themselves. Now, when we flash forward to our time today, God is still teaching you and me. God is still teaching his children. God is still reaching out to the human race today in the time period we live in, which is thousands and thousands and thousands of years beyond the time of Adam and Eve. God is still teaching us and still restoring to us the very things that Adam and Eve lost for the human race in the Garden of Eden. You see, God is insisting that we seek his face by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we study his word, and then we begin to renew our minds on a daily basis. We begin to renew our minds or reprogram our minds according to the truth of God's word. And see, when you do that, and when I do that, when we renew our minds with the word of God, what happens is God supernaturally begins to reprogram our minds so that we are set free in our inner man or woman to be everything that God created us to be in the first place with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. We were never intended to live in this present moment. It's irrelevant, by the way, for the moment. it doesn't matter in many respects what's going on in the physical realm. And at the same time, it very much matters what's going on in the physical realm. But the greater reality is the reality of what is our understanding with our minds of who we are, of who God is, and who are we in relationship to the problems and the challenges all around us. And you see, whatever idea we have treasured in our heart about who we are, and especially about who we are in relationship to the adversarial reality all around us, to the degree that we renew our minds with God's word, to the degree that we see ourselves accurately as God sees us, to the degree that we see ourselves in our inner man or woman accurately, and that we function based on that accuracy and truth, it is to that degree that we will be either victorious and more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus, or we will be under the dominion of Lucifer and the powers of darkness. It goes back to whether or not we are going to, through the renewing of our minds with God's word, whether or not we choose to cooperate with God and allow God to reprogram our minds, our identities, so that we can see who we really are created in Christ, so that we can accurately see who we really are with all of the supernatural authority, ability, spiritual gifts, natural talents, spiritual authority that God has given us. God wants us to recapture that. God wants us to be reignited with those truths to the degree we're willing to obey his commandments to do that. And so as we move thousands and thousands of years into the future and we read the New Testament, we see an enormous amount of God's word devoted to where he left off in his dealings with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, when they disobeyed God and activated the law of sin and death. Now, here we are thousands and thousands of years later, and God is still teaching his children through his word. God is still calling you, God's still calling me, to renew our minds with the word of God, so that we can be set free in the inner man and woman, and so that we can fulfill our destiny that God created us with before the beginning of time. So when we turn to the book of Romans, it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." This is very powerful. The Apostle Paul is writing, and he's saying to all believers, to you and me, and all believers that are listening right now to the Paul McGuire Report, wherever you are on planet Earth, God is speaking to you through his Holy Spirit. God is speaking to you through his word. That's why I'm reading his word to you. And God says to you and God says to me, do not be conformed to this world, which simply means you and I are not to be programmed in our thoughts, our beliefs, and ideas. We're not to be programmed according to this present-day temporary world system ruled temporarily by Satan. We are not, our thoughts, our minds, our ideas, our beliefs are not to be the result of being programmed by this present world system or being programmed by the evil ruler Satan of this present world system. We're not, that's not how we renew our minds. And God is saying, this is how you're supposed to operate and run your mind. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He's speaking to you, he's speaking to me. That we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. What do we renew our mind with? The Word of God, primarily. The Word of God is the primary instrument of renewing our mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you can't be who God wants you to be until you allow the renewal of your mind to produce radical Christ-like transformation in your life. That's what God is after. That is what God is after. That's his goal. So in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, this word, do not be conformed to this world. The word conformed comes from the word sous Kai Mat Idzoi. And that means God does not want us to be conformed to this present world system, along with its values and false belief systems. The word conformed refers to the conforming of oneself to the outer fashion or outward appearance, accommodating oneself to a model or pattern. Suits te mat idzoi means, in the New Testament, it describes those conforming to worldly lusts. The word schematic, which is an electronic wiring diagram, comes from that original word, kai mat idzoi, and that's where the word schematic is derived from. And God does not want his people programmed by the world's values, ideas, or systems of things. Our programming must come from the Word of God. Who we are as people of God should not be defined by music, film, television, or society at large, but by what God says about us in his Word. When we get our inner belief systems and identify from God's Word, we live as free and powerful people. Praise the Lord. Now, what I read to you was from a section in the Spirit-filled King James Bible, of which Jack Hayford was the executive editor, and I had the privilege of being one of the other editors, writing an enormous amount of the commentary from Genesis to Revelation. I just read you my commentary on the word conformed in a box that says word wealth. So it sounded to you like I was just reading. I wasn't just reading. I was reading my own word wealth explanation of the word conformed as it's written in Spirit-Filled Life Bible for Students that Dr. Jack Hayford was the executive editor on. Okay, so we see how God wants to program us to be everything that we are supposed to become. To the degree we believe lies, to the degree we stop believing his truth, is to the degree that we stop being effective and strategic in transformation and in reaching people for Jesus Christ. It's to the degree that we renew our minds that we can be effective in reaching people for Jesus Christ, in winning souls for Jesus Christ, in making disciples of all nations for Jesus Christ. These are all critical, critical things. So, you and I are called before God to do this. And now, more than ever, I have been asking those of you that are regular listeners to the Paul McGuire Report, and even those of you that are not, you need to, as soon as possible, like today, go to our main website, which is paulmcguire.us, and write down all the different audio and video outlets that we're on, because they change. One day you will wake up and where we were on a particular outlet, we're no longer there. That's the case happening to, you know, a huge number of people right now. So the Bible says the wise man sees the danger ahead and hides himself or herself from it. So if we know there's danger ahead in our future, a danger that could jeopardize our call from God to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If there's something in the future, perhaps very near future, which could function as a threat or which could prevent us from reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, or that could prevent us from making disciples of all nations, or prevent us from occupying the land until he comes, or prevent us from communicating a biblical worldview to people. If there exists in the future very real potentials where certain things could happen and they would act as agents to block our ability to accomplish the mission that God has created us to do, well, we need to be proactive. And I've been proactive. And I've been talking to you about this for over a year at least. And I have at the paulmcguire.us website, you have a list of all the outlets, the new outlets that we're on for video and audio, as well as outlets we have been on for many years. But, you know, you have to face reality. And reality is such at this moment that there is a effort to block communication that is biblical or reflects a biblical worldview. So I need you to go to paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Scroll down the page. Make sure you copy, paste, write, and link every single outlet that we're on. So if the circumstance happens that you can't watch us or hear us, and you can't find us, as you can't find many people right now, instead of wondering with dismay what happened, remember that I'm giving you ahead of time the places that we will be, okay? I'm giving you right now ahead of time where you can watch us, where you can hear us. So it's important that if you believe in this program, and you support this program, if you support me, it's important that you go to paulmcguire.us and write these things down, because there are massive changes happening in our nation and across the world right now when it comes to this particular subject matter. So visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ supernaturally called me to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ over 40 years ago. I was raised in an atheist household. I hated God. I hated Christianity with a passion. But God called me to use the gifts and talents and abilities that he has given me, just like he's given them to you, to communicate effectively and strategically the truth of God's word, the truth of the reality of Christ, the truth of salvation. And I've been doing that, and we have been doing that through Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mountain Church. And since the internet, we've reached millions and millions of people. How many of those millions and millions of people that we've reached have gotten saved? A significant number. But nobody could give you an accurate definition. I would simply say the number of people saved, along with the number of people who returned to Christ after backsliding, would be an extremely large number based on all the emails and responses and electronic data we've been able to compile over the decades. So, God called us to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I have every intention of obeying God and reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is something that God called me to do. God has called many of you to pray for me, to support us with your contributions and donations. He's called you to spread our message far and wide. And we are simply together obeying the call of God. But there are changes happening right now in our world. And so certain highways, for example, that were once alternative routes or primary routes to get to your destination are blocked or they're not available or they don't exist for many people. And so you have to have an alternative route, an alternative map, one that works, because you cannot allow the whims of somebody who is not born again, who places no value in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can't allow individuals whose spiritual viewpoint has no respect for the gospel of Jesus Christ to determine your future. And so you have to occupy the land like Jesus Christ commanded us to do. And I'm doing that right now. We're getting other pathways to communicate. We're in partnership with others developing new pathways and technology. And that means we need to increase the amount of donations and contributions we get so that we can turn around and expand the ministry, not retreat from the ministry, and utilize every available technological system so that we cannot be blocked from spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that we can't be blocked from winning souls to Jesus Christ. But in order to do that, we're going to have to take the ministry to an entirely new level, a higher level, and more intelligently and more effectively communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ all over this nation and all over the world. But in order to do that, we need to vastly increase the number of partners we have and donations and contributions that we receive, because we are battling forces that, as you know, have massive, massive budgets. But we can either surrender to their massive budgets, or we can step out by faith and continue to do what God has called us to do, believing and trusting in the Lord that as we obey Him, He will help us develop new ways. He will make a way where there is no way, not only for our ministry, but for any ministry that's truly communicating the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. And when you visit, write down the different communications highways we're on. Know where they are so that you can spread them. And we don't want to miss a beat, and we shouldn't miss a beat. We'll be back in just a second. And as you have time, check out paulmcguire.us. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. I'm visiting right now from the studio. I'm looking at paulmcguire.us, and when you scroll down the website, paulmcguire.us, you'll see the Paul McGuire Report logo, the picture of me, the date and time that it's on. And then you look right below where it says in big letters, the Paul McGuire Report. And you'll see a brand new updated list of all the new audio, video highways that we're on. And so you'll see there that we have alternative highways, because, you know, I was running this ministry, Paradise Mountain Church and the Paul McGuire Report, when that big, huge earthquake happened. I forgot what year it was. You saw those pictures on the news where the highways collapsed. Well, where this studio is located is not all that far from those famous pictures of the highways just breaking in pieces, you know, the aerial highways. We were in the epicenter. The earthquake had two epicenters. It was called the Northridge earthquake, but it had two epicenters, which means two points of maximum explosive power release. And we were literally on top of one of the two epicenters, which is one ride, my friends. One ride. As it was dark out, and next thing you know, I hear what literally sounds like a locomotive train running full speed. I hear a deafening roar. That is an ear-splitting roar. Okay? Then the house begins to shake. So I hear this crash, and the house begins to shake with such violence. The house is convulsing. I think it's going to collapse at any nanosecond, literally. My wife is fired on an adrenaline. She's already ahead of me. She ran down the hallway and grabbed all three of our children. Two of them were twins at the time, young children. Yes, I forgot how old they were. Probably 5, 6, 7 years old. No, younger. Let's say three years old, approximately. 3 years old and probably 2 years old. So we had three twins and a single child. So she ran out of the house, and then I ran out of the house and then joined our neighbors. Look, I'd been through many California earthquakes, so had all my neighbors. This was so beyond anything we'd ever experienced. And that was, the Lord used that to speak to me. I had already written one book on Bible prophecy called Who Will Rule the Future? So all my neighbors came to where our house was in the end of the cul-de-sac to talk in the dark because all the lights were out. Deafening roar, aftershocks. There's no way to describe it. But what happened was my neighbors, who were not Christians, some were in the entertainment business. Somehow they all knew that I was a Christian author, that I'd written Bible prophecy books. And they all just came up to me and said, "Paul, are these the signs of the times that Jesus Christ talked about?" And that question was asked to me constantly. And I answered it. And the going through the Northridge earthquake, where our house almost collapsed, it changed my heart and attitude. I was always into Bible prophecy, but I never had such an urgency to preach and teach on Bible prophecy. It just burst into flames in my heart, living through the Northridge earthquake. So the point is, I had to commute on a regular basis into an area in LA, which normally would have taken me between 45 minutes to an hour and a half max one way on a crowded day. So let's say an hour and a half. Okay. And I would have to drive both ways. Immediately after the Northridge earthquake, you saw those freeways broken in half, those aerial freeways. Well, there was no free. California is like weird and crazy. Here we are in the major artery of freeways getting out north of Los Angeles, and all the major freeways are cracked in half. The other freeways that are in the ground are, for miles, are ruptured, buckled, like they were hit with nukes, underground nukes. Nothing could drive on. And so what happened is people like me had to get back in and out of L.A. And each way took me approximately, I'm going to say, 12 to 14 hours or more. I mean, obviously, there's only 24 hours in a day, but at least 12 hours each way, usually more. Why 12 hours? Because there were only two other alternative routes that you could take. And in these two other alternative routes, you would have to drive through the mountains on either side of northern LA, you'd have to drive through these windy mountain roads, and you'd have to drive so far to go around the place where the freeways collapsed that going around journey would put you in traffic with other people, and it would take 12 hours, okay? But then, if you went the normal way, where you couldn't go to the aerial freeways, but they had made alternative routes, alternative roads, by opening up some older roads and stuff. But you literally could have gotten out of your car and walked faster to your destination than you could have by sitting in your car for bumper-to-bumper traffic. And it would also take you 12 hours to go one way into the city or out of the city. And so I explored with GPS, maps, and everything humanly possible. I tried all kinds of alternative routes. And I was ready to drive to Vegas, around Vegas, and come in on the back end of the highways getting into LA. And because at first there was no functional alternative route, so nobody could go anywhere. They were paralyzed. And then slowly they put back alternative routes, alternative roads, and people, it was slow, but people could get somewhere and get back. It's 12 hours each way, like minimum, but at least you could get somewhere and get back. Now, why am I bringing that up? Well, I'm looking at the paulmcguire.us website, which is our central website, and I'm seeing all the new platforms we've added, the new alternative routes for video and audio. And I want you to compare that with what happened during the Northridge earthquake when travel was blocked completely. And initially there was no alternative route. Well, use that, what happened during the Northridge earthquake. By the way, I wrote a book right from that called From Earthquakes to Global Unity. And I started to write lots of Bible prophecy books. So now I've written 34 books. Many of them are on Bible prophecy. And that's due to what happened to me personally during the Northridge earthquake. And, you know, it took a year or two for them to build alternative routes and open up alternative roads. I mean, it took forever. So I'm looking at paulmcguire.us, and, you know, in light of the seismic disruptive forces, seismic activity being a synonym for earthquake activity, when you have a major earthquake, it disrupts transportation and roads and stuff. When you have disruption in other areas of land that God has called us to occupy, you have communication being blocked, communication being walled off. Truth is no longer allowed to permeate the nation, the culture, the world. Truth is blocked. The message of Jesus Christ, the resurrection, the truthfulness of the Bible, it's blocked. And so you have God gives you a command, and you're a servant of God, and I am a servant of God. Servant of God. And I'm obeying him in communicating his word and the gospel of Jesus Christ as effectively and strategically as I can. And so we have the chaotic events, which just like the freeways that collapsed and were broken in pieces because of the Northridge earthquake, it took them a long time to get up to speed and to build alternative highways and routes and roads for people to commute on. Well, we've done proactive work. If you go to paulmaguire.us and you look at the Paul McGuire Report, you'll see a whole bunch of new routes, roads for communication put there for you. But it's important that you know of their existence and you write it down, that you copy the links now, and don't wait till the day of an earthquake or whatever, when you won't be able to find alternative routes. After that earthquake, nobody knew how, you know, we all, the police department didn't know, the sheriff's department didn't know what an alternative route would be. I mean, they knew what was there on the map. We knew what was there on the map. We could see GPS, but we all had to guess. There was nobody telling us. There was nobody giving us information. This is where you go. Here's an alternative route. We were lost. And there were millions of people lost in LA because they didn't know where to go. So you had to try it, because just because somebody said something or it was written somewhere in a book or whatever, it doesn't mean, you know, 10 years later that those options are still available to you. So I had to try going, literally driving around Los Angeles. I had to try different routes and roads, driving completely around Los Angeles and coming in to Los Angeles the opposite way, as if I was driving from San Francisco south down into LA. Completely the opposite. And that was, and then one was on the in the eastern direction to drive around LA, and the other was in the western direction to drive around LA. And both you had to drive through like desert country, or you had to drive through windy mountain roads, and it took about 12 hours each way. And then you had to keep searching, keep experimenting. Now, that's a waste of time. What if somebody had given me the best route, the best road, the best pathway, highway, whatever, to get where I was going? It would have saved me and a million people a lot of grief. Okay. In times of chaos, there is disruption. And the normal routes are disrupted. So I'm listing for you, if you go to paulmaguire.us, our alternative routes for video and audio and message God has given us. So in the event that something like a Northridge earthquake or whatever kind of events you could conceive of happens, you won't have to be in the dark trying to figure out what happened to us. Where on earth are you going to listen and watch the Paul McGuire Report? No, we have it listed for you now. Alternative roads, alternative pathways. And we're acquiring new ones. And we're also acquiring and building technology that's going to enable us to do far more than what we're doing. And it will help us, and it will help, hopefully, others that are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you've got to go to paulmaguire.us and learn the names of these different routes, like Brighteon and Odyssey and BitChute, and we have the others. But what happens if the others are subject to some kind of seismic activity of disruption? You know, what happens if YouTube goes down, or any of our channels goes down because of some unforeseen change in the environment? Well, we have alternative routes for you, but you've got to write them down. You've got to copy the links before, not after, before. Okay, and I don't have time to explain why. Now, many options are free. Many options cost money. We are aggressively expanding things for Paradise Mountain Church and our outreach for the Paul McGuire Report. But that means we need your prayers like never before. We need intercessory prayer warriors to pray for me, my family, and this ministry. We need those of you who can spread our links, our platforms, and our routes far and wide, and stay aware of changes in the environment that could happen on a daily basis. You've got to help us out by letting people know where we are, how to get there. And then finally, those of you who are financial partners who make donations and contributions to this ministry, I ask you to seek the Lord and pray for us so that we can expand and solidify, and also simply obey God. Whatever God tells you, give with your donations and contributions. Just do whatever he tells you to do. And together, because we're in this together, we can. You see, when God gives you a call or a mission, just because there are adversaries, just because it's difficult, just because there could be roadblocks of various kinds, just because there's opposition, doesn't mean that you've been uncalled from your call. You preach the gospel in season and out of season. So I intend to obey the Lord despite the circumstances, by trusting God, by praying to God, by being obedient. Now, it may mean struggle, it may mean opposition. So what? I mean, you know, so what? So what? It's all, if you're truly communicating the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are going to face opposition. If you're never facing any opposition, it's because you're probably not preaching any of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God warned us in his word over and over again that those that are doing the work of Jesus Christ, those who are true Christians, you're going to suffer persecution, tribulation, opposition. It's not always going to be a joy ride, but by relying on God and his supernatural power and his supernatural resources, God can give you the supernatural power. God can renew your mind to such an extent that you can receive the supernatural power and supernatural wisdom you need to overcome any giants or would-be giants that are in the land. Because they're not really giants, according to the Word of God. They are grasshoppers that like to pose as giants. But in the reality of God's Word and in the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I are not grasshoppers in our core identity. We're giants in our core identity. They're the ones that are grasshoppers in their core identity. So when we live from that place of renewing our minds with that truth, then we can become victorious. Then we can say to the Lord, mission accomplished. Then we can do the impossible. That should be a cause of rejoicing, because that works not only in the dynamics of a ministry like this one, Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mountain Church, but it works in the dynamics of your own personal life or set of circumstances. This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Truth produces power. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Truth also produces light. The light always, not some of the time, the light always conquers the darkness. Now that's powerful for those of you that partner with me in this ministry through your prayers, through your spreading our messages far and wide, through your financial contributions, and donations for those of you that have chosen to partner with this ministry. We are walking in the power of the kingdom of God, because it says where two or more of us are gathered together in his name, Jesus' name, there he is in the midst of us. So you and me, wherever you're listening to me or watching me from, in the USA or planet Earth, you and me are in agreement. We're spiritually one, considering a number of things. And you and I, in agreement, are gathered together electronically. We're gathered together, and because we're gathered together in his name, in the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus tells us, there he is. That means Jesus is right here in the middle of us, or the midst of us. Jesus is here right now. So that means, because Jesus is Lord of all of life, and Jesus' kingdom is multidimensional. Okay? So what? Wherever Jesus, we're gathered together in his name, but we're gathered together physically, but we're also gathered together virtually or electronically. So we're gathered together on multiple dimensions. But in every dimension that we choose to gather together, Jesus Christ promises us that there he will be in the midst of us. So when two or more of us are gathered together in his name, in the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus says there he will be in the midst of us. So that means right now, at this very second, wherever you're joining me from, whatever nation, city, state, community, continent, or whatever, space shuttle, I don't know where you're listening or watching from, wherever you're connecting with this program, Paul McGuire Ministries in Paradise Mountain Church, Jesus is here in the midst of us. Now, what does that mean in practical terms? It means that I will always do the best that I can to get out of the way when Jesus wants to move, or when Jesus wants to direct the movement of ideas and communication. Because Jesus is here in the midst of us. And I don't know about you, but you see, I sense right now, I sense the actual presence of Jesus Christ, which to me is evidence that he is indeed here in the midst of us. So not only do I sense the presence of Jesus Christ right now, but right now I sense that Jesus Christ is infusing you and me and all of his people. I sense that Jesus Christ is infusing us with his healing power, with his healing virtue, with the peace of God that passes all understanding and has the power to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I sense that Jesus Christ is here in the midst of us, and he's infusing us with the dunamis, the dynamite power of God, power from on high, that we're being clothed with power from on high, which takes away the shame and nakedness Adam and Eve were experiencing. And it also drives out the fear that Adam and Eve were experiencing. Because when God pours out his power from on high upon his people, it drives out fear. It drives out anything that would oppose the kingdom of God. So Jesus Christ is now here in the midst of us. Now, why would Jesus Christ be here in the midst of us? Because there's a promise from God that if two or more of us gather together in his name, in the name of Jesus, then there he will be in the midst of us. Why would we gather together? Well, it's obvious. You know why. We're gathering together right now in Jesus' name because one of the things that's on our hearts is that you and I have a desire to take care of and to obey kingdom business. In other words, We want to do the business of the kingdom of God. Now, what's the primary business of the kingdom of God? What's the epitome of kingdom business? Well, the primary part of kingdom business is saving souls for Jesus Christ, is winning souls for Jesus Christ. Another primary part of the business of the kingdom of God is communicating or proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word. So we have a desire and a hunger to take care of kingdom business, which is saving souls, making disciples of all nations, occupying the land till he comes. And in order to do that, in order to faithfully accomplish kingdom business, we have to take advantage of kingdom resources, which means we need to call upon the personhood of Jesus Christ and ask him to fill us with the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit, ask him to anoint and amplify our natural talents and gifts, our spiritual gifts, and give us the power and the wisdom to not only be overcomers, but Lord, provide the alternative routes, the alternative pathways and roads we need so we can communicate to everybody we need to communicate with. And again, the call of a watchman is to stay awake, and if you see the enemy coming from the distance, to blow the shofar or trumpet of warning so that God's people will be roused and they won't be destroyed by the enemy. That's the purpose of the Paul McGuire Report. And we do that by being on all these different roads or pathways which are listed on the internet, and we've added new ones, and we're going to continue to add new ones because we cannot allow the communication to be blocked. Can't allow that. This is an assignment from God. We're not going to defer to any human group. We're not going to say, no, we're not going to obey God when God has called us to do something. We'll do everything we can to be cooperative, to be obedient, to be team players. We'll do everything we can to do that. But certain things are non-negotiable. And that is, we have to be able to let people know that if they come to Christ, that they can be saved, born again. And that's the purpose of every pathway that we have. It's a pathway from this ministry to people's hearts and minds. So when you go to paulmcguire.us and you see everything written down there about where you can watch and hear the Paul McGuire Report and our prophetic emergency alerts, or get our books, my books, like The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, everything you see on paulmcguire.us represents a starting place, and then it takes you to a pathway, and that pathway connects directly to somebody's heart, mind, and soul. So the whole Paul McGuire Report, the whole Paradise Mountain Church, what it's really all about, it's about pathways from Jesus, pathways from the truth we communicate in this ministry. It's all about pathways and maintaining the pathways that go directly to people's hearts, minds, and souls all around the world. And that's a sacred trust, and he's given you that trust, and he's given me that trust. And books are a large part of how we're able to do that. So, for example, my latest book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, is about what I just talked to you about. Right now, we're in the middle of the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. It's going all over planet Earth. And the way we win this battle is we communicate the truth of God's word effectively and strategically as possible. But that implies we have to have working roads, working pathways to go upon so that we can deliver our message to the hearts and minds of people. So a book, for example, when somebody orders a book, it gets mailed to them. And very quickly, they have the book and all the truth in the book. But the way we initially establish communication is through our different pathways, highways of truth. And that happens because people like you partner with us in making sure that it happens. You take our assignment from our Lord Jesus Christ seriously, as I do. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. Please check out, copy, paste all the links you see there. Because back to the earthquake story of my life, you know, I didn't expect, my wife didn't expect, nobody expected an earthquake. And I think it was at 5 in the morning or 4:20 in the morning a.m. in L.A. Most people were asleep. I was asleep. And then, bam, there was a sound like a nuke went off in L.A., an ear-splitting, deafening roar that it was like nothing I ever experienced. All power was down. All communications were down. It was a complete blackout. And it turned out it was the Northridge earthquake. Now, people were in a panic. They didn't know where to go. They didn't know how to get communication. I'm giving you, before any unexpected event, I'm giving you our locations at paulmcguire.us, the various roads we're on, set up to communicate with you and others. And it's important that you protect these roads and that you know these roads exist and that you help us enhance, improve significantly both the technology that goes along with the roads and the creation of new roads that will handle our assignment from our Master, Jesus Christ. Said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's why we're in, with the title of my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. Because if people don't hear the truth, if there are no channels between the truth and their hearts and minds and souls, all they're going to receive is messages of non-truth, lies, error, or deception. There's a fight going on in the unseen realm, in the invisible realm. There's a battle for the hearts and souls of mankind. I mean, I know it sounds very a Jungian archetype. I know it's something like a battle in the Lord of the Rings or whatever you want to imagine it to be. But the gravity of this situation, I'm understating. You know that. Because if you believe the Bible literally, we are in a time period that Bible prophecy teaches us is relatively close to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And so prophetic events are going to come into place. And we are in the time place in human history where we've been given a command from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to bring in the last day's soul harvest. And that is not contingent upon other areas of order and power. That's independent. I mean, that is independent. It's God commanding us to do something. And if God commands us to do something, it helps us to grow personally, spiritually, and individually spiritually. And how you grow is you begin to recognize that if God has commanded you to do something like preaching the gospel, then you can be sure that if God has commanded you to do it, that God will, if you stay in continual prayer, God will provide for you the supernatural resources and other things you need so that you can accomplish your assignment from Jesus Christ. And that means there's a struggle, there's a battle, because there is a being, Lucifer and fallen angels, that want to block and prevent that message from spread all over the earth. And we read what happens in the Bible. We read what happens as this continues. Most churches for decades and even now still don't touch or teach Bible prophecy, the book of Revelation. Well, this ministry, we emphasize Bible prophecy, the book of Revelation, the book of Genesis. We emphasize all of the Bible and salvation. And the reason God has raised up this ministry from the beginning and has given us favor to be on so much media is because God's people who were assigned with the responsibility of teaching Bible prophecy, teaching prophecy, were not doing it. They were actually forbidding to teach it in their churches, and many still do forbid to teach it in churches. So that doesn't please God. You can read in the book of Revelation that those people who faithfully teach Revelation, God, or read Revelation, God supernaturally blesses. Those people that attempt to alter the book of Revelation or distort it place themselves under a very severe spiritual curse. So you and I have chosen in the last days not to be people of fear, but to be people who know in their hearts that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you and I have the confidence to be able to continue to think supernaturally and to act supernaturally. And you and I can walk in rejoicing, because when we rejoice in the Lord, we gain supernatural strength in the joy of the Lord. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. So when we're obeying God, we have the joy of the Lord who is our strength. And that supernatural joy, along with his supernatural power, gives us the strength, the ability, and the open doors we need to go into all the world and preach the gospel, make disciples of all nations, bring in the last day's soul harvest, and occupying the land until he comes. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us and capture all those links. Visit paulmcguire.us.